Good day to you. Welcome to another edition of The Front Page on Morehead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Chuck Meraz. Today, our guest is Rowan County Judge Executive Walter Blevins. And Dr. Blevins, welcome as always.
Thank you for having me.
Well, I guess the biggest news to come out of this week's fiscal court meeting, there was actually a vote, kind of unexpected in many ways, because it was not really on the agenda that I received regarding the proposed property swap involving Morehead State University and the county. And that deal would have netted Morehead State the old jail building behind the Arts Center, along with the building that currently houses the Rowan County Veterans Association. They need that property, or they said they need that property, so that they can expand the Adrian Dorn University Center. And in return for getting that property, they would build the Veterans Association a new museum, but apparently the magistrates decided to take a vote on this and rejected the idea.
Well, I'm getting a lot of pressure, a lot of phone calls, a lot of long phone calls, a lot of passionate phone calls from constituents. I think they had a petition with about 1,000 signers on that. But I mentioned that it's easy to get somebody to sign a petition, but it's hard to get them to pull a dollar out of their pocket. And I'm hoping those 1,000 people that sign that will come forward with some dollars to help us renovate and upkeep these two buildings.
How surprised are you that a vote was taken? Because, as I said, it caught me off guard, because in talking to everyone, it seemed to be that it would be a discussion here this week, and perhaps next month there would be a vote.
That was my intention, because those buildings have been there for 80 years, and they're still in pretty bad disrepair. The needs are great as far as roofs, at least the roof on the Veterans Center. I was kind of shocked, too, because I didn't have it down for any kind of a vote. I just wanted to listen to the certain sides of the issue. Gave them an opportunity, the Historical Society, and we had an overcrowded problem. I'm glad the fire marshal didn't come by, because we were bringing in seats, and we still didn't have enough room for everybody. I actually opened up the door so people could at least continue to listen to the proceedings. I actually protested that I didn't have it on the agenda for a vote. I think I talked to President Andrews. He was a little upset because he didn't get a chance to come, and he was offering some other alternatives. I did mention some of the alternatives he was willing to go with. And one of those, and I still think it was a good deal for us, was the older building of the two, and probably the more – it's a prettier building. It's we don't own it now, but the Batson's building used to be the Galt – used to be the remnants of the Galt House. I guess it was an old hotel at one time. There's a cozy theater in there at one. I guess the only theater probably in Eastern Kentucky at some point. And I'd like to see the money put into that building, because that building is an historic building. It's older. It was built, I think, in the 1890s, I believe. And it's made out of a cut. Instead of brick, it looks like brick, but it's made out of a cut stone. And that cut stone is very unique, and I think there's only two buildings in the United States that have that cut stone, blue stone. It's cut. It looks yellow. But concern with that is that that building is basically being gutted, and it will take a lot of money to get it back to where it's usable. And a lot of times if people can't find people to come in and fix it back up and make it usable, then that building probably could be torn down too, and that's probably a more of an historic building than either of the other two.
How disappointed are you by this? Because when we talked the last time, you were very supportive of the Morehead State ADUC project.
Well, I've looked at those buildings. I mean, they're sound as far as the foundations and everything, but they do, at least the one of them leaks pretty bad when it rains. We did 1/4 the roof because that was a leaking part, and now we got 3/4 of it we still need to do to make it look more attractive. It needs windows. It needs, again, something to control the moisture down in the basement. And you still got an old building, and you still don't have enough room for the Veterans Center to display all the artifacts they have.
And you've got the old jail building that's behind it, which is a bigger building and has not really been used for anything for years.
It's been basically a storage place for dog food when I first went in there, and I got that moved out of there because I didn't want – I think it just attracts more rodents and stuff and bugs, and so I've got that moved over to the dog pound or the animal shelter. And I think the university had a good plan. I mean, everybody's got their opinion. My opinion was I think it would really beautify the area to have a new building and to have more parking for not only for the university but also for – because that wouldn't be owned by the university. It would just have an easement. They could use it. But it would still be available to the citizens of the county, especially during some of the programs at the Art Center.
Is there any chance that this deal could be revived in some way?
I think you can always bring an issue before the court, and they could reverse that vote. I mean, it's just if they hear from enough people out there and more people start calling them about wanting to do something and trying to save or trying to help the university and trying to maybe clean that whole area up and get rid of some – those are going to be problem buildings for years to come. They're going to have to be maintained. And, again, they've not been maintained for probably, you know, several years now.
When you talk about renovating these buildings to use for different things, I know there's been talk about using the old jail for what they call dirty art when you're talking about sculptures and steel making things and pottery and stuff like that, that you'd have to still fix up that building. And, of course, the Veterans Museum building probably could use some upgrades too.
Well,
any ideas on how much that might cost?
I know the veterans are going to work on a proposal. They're going to try to look at all their needs on their building and try to come up with some kind of a price and then present that to the court. We'll make and, of course, we're in tough times because we're trying to build a brand-new jail facility, which is about anywhere between 15 and I'm hearing 20 million. I hope it's closer to the 15. But that's going to be a real tough call for the court to have to pay those debt payments and continue to pay, in the meantime, have to pay for the prisoners we have. And it's about $1.2 million we're already putting in that, and yet another probably $20 million, $15 million debt service payment. You're really starting to eat into people's budgets. So it's going to be tough to find those kind of dollars in our budget in the near future.
It almost sounds like it could be a while before those buildings are even fixed up to be usable again.
Well, I mean, they're using.
Well, one is already being used.
My next intention, what we did shortly after that, we decided that we needed to have a subcommittee to work on the to try to look at what we can do with those two buildings and how much who will help pay for it, who will help donate money to it. We also had a proposal came to us right after that meeting. It came late. There was a one of the realtors here in town said he had a couple of clients who would like to maybe lease the building, the jail building, and put a bed and breakfast in it or maybe even a restaurant in it. So, again, I don't know if they've had a chance to really go in there and look at it and see what all it needs. It's pretty dirty right now. It's going to take a lot of cleaning up to get the place even cleaned up where somebody can look at it. That's where that committee that we're going to form. I've got to appoint some members. I'm probably going to appoint members from the Arts Council, probably from the downtown Moorhead, probably the veterans group, and probably just some people from city council as well. And myself and Stanley Messer, we're the ones planning on being on that committee as far as from the court.
You mentioned that Dr. Andrews was a little upset that he didn't have a chance to speak to the court before the vote. Do you expect him possibly to come back now and say, Harry, you know, maybe we do need to talk about this some more and maybe present some alternatives?
Well, I mean, I think he's presented some alternatives. I know I had a copy of a letter from him with some alternatives, I was told by the president that he had also sent those to the other court members. Everything's up to change. People can change their mind overnight and decide that maybe this we've got a better idea. But the feelings of those magistrates yesterday, the court members, they were pretty adamant. They had enough phone calls. They already made their mind up. They were not going to create a lot of havoc with the citizens that have been calling them.
You also dealt with the issue of longevity pay, and we've discussed that too, and that's just kind of like a one-time bonus for employees who've been there a while because you mentioned that their raises this year were less than 1%, I think 0.79 is what you
that's
told
correct.
Me the last time.
That's correct.
So how did that go?
Well, it went like it always has. I can't get a second. I make a motion, and the motion fails for lack of second. There was some comments from some of the court members, and that we're close to writing another budget, so maybe in the next budget they'll be willing to go along and try to do something to help our to give some longevity pay to those people that have really been good and loyal employees.
Why do you think this issue has failed in the last couple of times you've taken a run at it?
I think it's because they're concerned, again, about the cost of the jail. Nobody knows exactly how much that's going to come in. We'll bid it out there and see what they'll ask to charge us to build it, and we'll have to come up with some decisions. Of course, we were planning on about $1 million from the university, and that's looks like that's around $700,000 now we might get instead of the million. That's $300,000 less. We were planning on getting money from the state on House Bill 463, which was supposed to help communities that are building jails to give them up to $1.5 million to offset their architectural and engineering fees. We're still in a court case now with that, but again, court case, we don't have the money in hand, and that's about $1.5 million, and then you take another $300,000 from that million we were supposed to get, and there's some concerns that we'll have enough money to build a large enough facility that'll pay for itself.
The bonuses that you talked about, this longevity pay, I think, was it the estimate was between, depending on the employee and their length of service
yes.
time, about $500 to $1,000?
I think employment. I think it's between $500 probably, and it goes up a little higher than that for the people that have been there 20 and 25 years.
Okay. So it's something that it sounds like it still has legs, and if it doesn't come through here shortly, it could go through next year.
I'm hoping that it will happen in the next budget cycle. If we can't get it, I think they're getting tired of having to vote against it or not second it. We've got a lot of people that work very hard for this community. They've been through four disasters. And you look at my road crew and what all they've had to go through. And you look at your people that have been put through all this controversy over Miss Davis. And the phone calls they've had to go through, the protest and all that going on, I mean, it's been tough on a lot of our employees.
Well, you mentioned that in the Westboro Baptist Church. Many people know who they are. They're a very controversial group that it creates a lot of anger in communities. Fortunately, though, when they were here earlier this week in Rowan County, they made a visit to the clerk's office and were outside the courthouse, and I know they came to the Morehead State campus. There are only four members, and it really didn't generate a whole lot of interest, and it just seemed to be more of a fizzle than anything else.
I think it was a fizzle. I think those people, hopefully that whole movement by them will fizzle out, because I think they are more of a hate group than any kind of a religious group that I know of.
Well, it seems like things are starting to settle down in our community. Would you agree?
I would agree. Yes, I would. It's not over, because there's still proceedings to go through. We're still in a court case. We've been sued, the county. I'm hoping that that will be thrown out in the near future. That's another concern, I guess, of my magistrates, and that we don't know what these lawsuits could do to us.
And again, that's a liability issue.
Yes.
Am I correct on that?
Yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, when do you expect to hear on that possibly?
Well, I was hoping he'd been thrown out early on, but I guess with all that was going on, they haven't had a chance to really make those arguments. But I think CAECO is representing us, and along with Cecil helping. I think eventually the judge will hopefully throw our case out, because it wasn't brought about by the county. It was an action by Kim Davis and no one else.
Again, our guest today on Front Page is Rowan County Judge Executive Walter Blevins. I'm Chuck Moraz. We'll go ahead and pause. Come back with more on the show right after this.
There are many ways to connect with Morehead State Public Radio. Log on to WMKY.org for enhanced regional news, on-demand audio and video, breaking news from NPR, and information on your favorite programs. Get links to Facebook and Twitter while you listen to our live broadcast online, or download mobile apps from NPR and take 90.3 FM with you everywhere. Connect with your community and Morehead State Public Radio. Visit WMKY.org.
Welcome back to today's Front Page. I'm Chuck Moraz. Our guest is Rowan County Judge Executive Walter Blevins. And Dr. Blevins, as we continue our discussion, I know we always like to talk about the jail project, because that's a focal point when we talk about major issues here in the county. And you've acquired the land for the jail on US 60 East, just outside the Morehead city limits.
No, it's inside
the city. That's right. I'm sorry. It is inside city limits. But at the same time, now you're looking at getting the site prepared to do the construction.
Yes, we've... hopefully have some bids. We're going to have a special call meeting of the court and our jail committee. That'll be on the 10th of November. You'll get notice on that as well. But we'll hopefully open the bids on the demolition of the structure and the preparing the site for construction.
For those who don't know it, it's the site currently of the old Eastern Kentucky Tobacco Warehouse. It's a massive structure. Do you expect the work to be pretty extensive?
I've heard anywhere from probably $200,000 to $300,000 to do that, because there's some asbestos involved with it. And of course, we're soliciting bids. We hope we'll get five or six bids, and we'll get reasonable bids that will be less than those dollars, I hope. Because I think if they did it right, they could probably go in there and salvage some of the metal in the building. There are some really nice timbers in there that could be hopefully saved and sold for monetary value. And that way, maybe the price will come in a little lower for some people. Hopefully, we'll get lots of bids.
Sounds like the work could take place later this fall. How long do you think it might take altogether?
I don't think it'll take that long once they get started. It's not much of a building as far as it's just a tin building with a roof on it. But there is some windows there, I think, mainly where the asbestos is. But it's a large building, and it'll take a little time to knock it down. But if you go in there and you're not trying to save much of it, then it wouldn't take very long. But if you go in and try to actually save some of those metals and the beams that are in there, then it would take a little longer. But, again, we'll see how those bids come in, and hopefully they'll come in where we'll not be as much a burden as we thought.
Because this will be moving toward the winter, that would mean that the construction for the jail itself will not start probably next year in the spring.
Yeah, in the spring, I would say. I wish we could have moved a little faster, but sometimes it takes time to get everything lined up and everything in order.
You mentioned the lawsuit. I guess it's against the State Department of Corrections. They're responsible for taking care of the engineering and architectural fees. That's a state law that they have to pay for this stuff.
It is in the statute, and that's why we think we will be successful in our court case.
And that's, what, $1.5 million?
Up to $1.5 million. It'll depend on how much our fees are. It could go to $1.5 million, but right now I think we're looking close to about $1 million.
Do you think that they're just delaying this? They know they have to pay it, but the money's not there, so they're just delaying?
I think what it is the money was not put into their budget, and their budget is very tight right now, and they've just not didn't have the money to go ahead and take care of this. It's not just Brown County, but there's Oldham County's trying to build one. They've also got the same criteria going on. They'd love to have that money for some of their architectural fees and engineering fees. So, and I think there's another couple of jails that are actually started. I'm hearing from the General Assembly that they may take care of this, but do away with that part of the law, so no other jail can use this dollars. But I think they'll have to honor what they put in the statutes.
And of course, the 2016 session of the General Assembly is a budgetary session,
right,
so they could get the money then.
They can put it in the budget and take care of it. There is some surplus money right now. Of course, I mean, if you look at surplus, there's surplus money, but if you look at what we owe on our retirements, there's not much surplus money left, and there's definitely not enough money to take care of those problems at present.
It'll be interesting when you talk about the 2016 session. There will be a new governor overseeing things. Governor Beshear will be leaving office, and it'll either be Republican Matt Bevin or, of course, Democrat Jack Conway. So that could play a role in all this, couldn't it?
Oh, I'm sure. I mean, the governor will basically lead the charge one way or the other on the budget. He'll present a budget. Hopefully he'll present a budget that takes care of many of our problems. But I don't hear much from Mr. Bevin. It sounds good to county governments.
Okay, let's move on before we get the chance to wrap up. Anything new in regards to the proposed recreation park? I know that's sort of on the back burner a little bit right now, but at the same time, it's a subject.
We've looked at a plat, I guess you call it, or a design document, and there was a few tweaks in it. It looks really nice, and it's going to cost some money. Of course, Rocky Atkins is trying to help us get some money for the roads and maybe widening of 60 out in that area with some turn lanes, and also a road maybe into the district. But one of the hurdles we have now is the university owns that property, and we have to get it transferred to the county before we can actually apply for those state dollars. With what happened over the jail, I'm not so sure the president's going to be real eager to work with the county on any issue. I hope that he'll decide that it's still in the best interest of the citizens, best interest of this university to have those facilities. So, but again, I can understand the sentiments of the president basically after having that vote yesterday without giving him a chance to come back and be a part of the conversation yesterday.
And, of course, as you mentioned here, touched on this subject, the university has been patiently waiting to take over the current jail property, and they've given you extensions, and
absolutely.
I wonder how that might be impacted.
Well, I think a lot of things are going to be impacted because it's nice to work with people, but I think my court kind of went the other way in working with the president and listening to his concerns about the university. Of course, I know they were very passionate. There was a lot of passion in the courtroom yesterday, and those magistrates have had a lot of phone calls, and I guess they're tired of the phone calls. But still, that's part of being a lawmaker and a magistrate is you've got to at least give time for these things to listen to both sides, to hopefully to come with compromise that'll work for everybody, but it doesn't look like right now it's going to work for the university.
When we talk about the recreation park, there's also a committee, a joint city-county recreation
yes.
committee that's helping with this, and I guess they're looking at some things too?
Yes, I think they're very very happy about what the plans look like. I mean, it'd be a really nice facility, and it's going to cost some money. We'll have to find some dollars, but having a committee, they can go out here and look for some grants, look for some opportunities, maybe some sponsorships. I know the mayor keeps talking about the Kenneth Fareed recreational facility. If we can get Kenneth to come back here, and I think he signed a contract for $40-some million, I believe, and he might have a few pocket change left in there. He could help this university and help the region that he was so good to him.
Yeah, it might be nice to find private money because obviously right now government grants are tough to come by.
It's tough. The federal government, we're looking at whether they're even going to keep it open or not. I hope they will come to rational minds when they have to extend the debt service so that the country doesn't have to just completely close up. There's big concerns in the federal level. Of course, we've got concerns in Frankfurt as well, and it's going to be tough to find any kind of dollars. So I think we're going to have to look at our local communities, and we have to hopefully go out here and try to raise money through individuals and foundations.
The drawing for the park, the proposal, can you give us maybe a basic overview of what it includes?
Well, we're looking at four softball-sized fields with a restrooms and your refreshment areas in the middle of those four parks. There's also a Little League fourplex. So it'd be a wonderful place to have tournaments because you can have games going on the whole day. You can get lots of teams to come here. There would be adequate parking. It's a very beautiful setting up there. There's also lots of room for. I think there's a shooting range up there for the police officers. There's a dog park in part of it. There's some tennis courts and multi-use fields for soccer and football. It really would be something special. I think it would bring a lot of people to this community that don't come to this community now just to see this beautiful setting.
When I think about it, it seems like we're edging closer. I want to say almost like glacier-like speed, but we are edging closer to getting this project done.
Well, again, we've got people working on it. The mayor and I have been working real hard together, and, of course, the president of the university has been willing to help us, and we've been moving forward. Actually, would be beneficial to the school system as well, and they're willing, to be one of the players in this as well. So I think all of us are at the table right now, and hopefully we'll all remain at the table and continue to push this forward.
It sounds like the progress is being made, though.
Yes.
Well, Judge, as always, we appreciate your time on Front Page. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure most of the time.
Rowan County Judge Executive Walter Blevins, our guest today on the Front Page. I'm your host, Chuck Meraz. We'll see you next time.